In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is Ascension Day, one of the great lost festivals of the Church's year. Many congregations do not hold special services today. Indeed, many do not even remember it. Perhaps this is because the Ascension is an unusual festival in many ways. Its focus is on departure. This is not normal. It is a reversal, as it were, of the Incarnation. Here we see Jesus going from man as he arises into heaven, instead of coming to man, as is God's common movement. One feature not usually accented in Ascension Day sermons is the cloud which appears. And a cloud took him up from their eyes, Luke says. Just what is the significance of the cloud? Well, it is noteworthy that in the Old Testament, the cloud was a symbol or sign of the presence of Almighty God. We read in Exodus, for example, when Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the door of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. When all the people saw the pillar of cloud, all the people would rise up and worship. In the New Testament, this same theme is continued, so that at the transfiguration of our Lord, a cloud comes upon the mountain, and a voice, the voice of God, issues forth from the cloud. Little wonder that the disciples were afraid to enter into that cloud, as Luke records it. What then was the significance of Jesus being taken up into the cloud for the disciples of our Lord? It was, it would seem, this, that Jesus was none other than, nothing less than, full, complete God, Yahweh, maker of the universe, which meant to them, really, two distinct things. First, it meant that Jesus of Nazareth, their Lord and teacher, had been God all along, had been God during his ministry. Not a magician, not a miracle worker, but God, true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No wonder the winds and the seas obeyed him, even if he was God in hiddenness, meekness, and lowliness in their midst. Secondly, and more importantly, it meant that he was now God without doubt, God indisputably, God in no uncertain terms. This affirmation of Jesus' Godhead told the disciples that now there would be no more lowliness. Now their master was King of kings and Lord of lords, the very living God with power over all. No more would this Jesus hunger and thirst. No more would he be subject to physical torment and to death. Now he was not above all that, but rather in total mastery of all that, as he was again fully invested with power, so that he would be able to, and indeed would, exercise that reign and rule which he had established at his cross and resurrection. This is what St. Paul had in mind when he exclaimed, "He accomplished this in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, and he has put all things under his feet." The state of humiliation was truly at an end. That is not yet all. The cloud at the Ascension was also meant to remind the disciples of another reference to cloud in our New Testament, this time in a statement of Jesus himself, shortly before his passion. "For the powers of the heavens will be shaken," he said, "and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Jesus said something similar to the high priest at his trial, and each time he alluded to Daniel chapter 7, where we read, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him." The taking up of Jesus by the cloud, then, told the disciples, Indeed, the two men in white raiment spelled it out for them specifically in words, that their Lord would return one day in glory to be the judge of all. On that day, all accounts would be set straight. On that day, the good would be separated from the evil, with everything resisting God cast into darkness, and all in communion with God achieving more intimate communion still. As St. Paul said to the people of Thessalonica, the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance upon those who do not know God, when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at in all who have believed. This way, the ascension carried for the disciples a very Advent theme. Now, what does all of this mean for you and for me in May of 1988? Well, Christ's ascension tells us, first of all, as it did the disciples, that Jesus of Nazareth, the Jesus of the earthly mission, was nothing less than true and very God. This is why Jesus repeatedly applied to himself promises made concerning God, Yahweh, in the Old Testament. For example, by claiming to be the shepherd of God's people when Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Or to put it slightly differently, the salvation of Jesus Christ is that salvation promised so long ago in the Old Testament, when God said that he himself would return to his people to bring them mercy and grace. John the Baptist's father, the old man Zechariah, saw this clearly as he sang concerning Jesus, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." We need look nowhere else, only to Christ, for he is God. And he brings the salvation of God, the salvation of the God of Israel himself. Secondly, the cloud's affirmation of Jesus' full divinity in power assures us that our salvation is secure, that it can never be taken from us. Why is this so? Because salvation is in Jesus Christ. And by his ascension, Christ has been placed in power over everyone and over everything. And we are Christ's body. Therefore, nothing can really harm us. For his power, his absolute power, extends also over us, his body. Over us who have been engrafted into him by the sacrament of holy baptism. Therefore, we stand firm. St. Paul put it slightly differently when he said, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." While the resurrection established new life for the world, the ascension put that life in power, so that it cannot be snuffed out. As far as the return of Christ in judgment is concerned, then, this facet of the ascension is a reminder to us as true believers of the nature of salvation. A reminder that while God's promises have been fulfilled, they have not yet been fully consummated. You see, the world does have forgiveness now, oh yes. It does have new life. But evil is not gone. Sin, death, and the devil still take their murderous toll. There is need for consummation. And there will be a consummation. Of that we may be sure. The ascension is our signpost. It is our assurance. That which we see now, strife, anguish, suffering, death, these are not the last word. There will be a final reckoning. The ascension says to you and to me, not only that we are even now on the victorious team, or to use Luther's words, that the kingdom ours remaineth. It points to the fact that finally, All evil will be swept aside. All tears will be wiped away. Death will be banished forever. Christ's ascension, in this sense, is the promise that the hope expressed by St. Paul in Romans 8 will surely come to pass. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us, because the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in travail together until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait for adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. Finally, our triumph will be full. Need we fear that great judgment day, the coming of Christ presaged by his ascension path? No, we need not. We may seem so sinful and pathetic. Our bodies as we know them are truly bodies of sin and death. But we need have no fear, because all has, in fact, been fulfilled. The judgment has already taken place. It has taken place in Christ, on Golgotha, and at the empty tomb. And we who believe, we who are in Christ, have already passed from death to life. Those who do not believe, who are not in Christ, those already stand condemned. The great parousia, the great second coming, will simply be a revelation of what already is. Rejoice, therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ. Rejoice in our Lord's ascension, for we have been baptized into Christ, and so we have ascended in triumph with him. In him we sit even now on that glorious throne. Amen.